Off the Ball Breakfast.
You would say Georgia's.
Did I say that? You said that. You literally said that.
That's what
Georgia's is slightly better competition.
Your eyes just told me that. I'm just translating it.
Wow. Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Richie McCormack, and coming up, I'll preview tonight's League of Ireland action, which includes our live game from Dalymount Park pitting Bohemians against Galway United. Stephen Kenny discusses St. Pat's European win over Hegelman, and Keith Andrews is to add a Champions League winning captain to his Brentford squad. But first today, Evan Ferguson has reportedly agreed a move to Roma. Brighton have held discussions with both Roma and Atalanta about a potential loan move with the obligation to buy. And it's the Giallorossi that appear to have won the race to land Ferguson, despite the lure of Champions League football from the Bergamo club. Reports in Italy today say Roma's talks with Brighton are into their final stages, with Ferguson to replace Uzbek forward Eldar Shomurdov, who has just completed a move to Istanbul Başakşehir. Roma will cover Ferguson's full salary for the loan, which is believed to be €1.8 million. However, Gazzetta dello Sport claimed this morning that Ferguson could still face competition for a starting place at the Olimpico. Roma haven't abandoned hope of a similar loan deal for Manchester United's Rasmus Højlund. Only two Premier Division fixtures survived the European scythe, with Off the Ball heading for Dalymount Park tonight. Bohemians are the only side from the top half of the table in action tonight, and they take on a Galway team who've taken just 1 point from their last possible nine. Having drawn none of their first 21 games in this year's top flight, Bohs have had to share the spoils in their last two outings. Hamstring injuries keep Alex Lacey and Archie Meekison out of tonight's game, but there could be a first home appearance for recent Bohs signing Douglas James Taylor. And on this week's LOI pod, Vinnie Perth says the arrival of the former Drogheda man could pose a selection headache for Alan Reynolds.
That would be a little concern of mine, because I think they were so good the other way. So if you think of it, Devoy and McDonald probably stay in the team. McDonald gives him huge running power. Probably he's not as flashy to them. Ross Tierney stays in the team. So then there's little question marks about how he fits everyone. And he's got it really right over the last couple of weeks. But it will be interesting to see how tactically they evolve. If you go back to the best performance of anybody all season, it was them against Shamrock Rovers. They were exceptional on that day. And it was that sort of it wasn't all false now, because Clark obviously led the line against them and put Rovers centre-halves under pressure. But there's already signs of a slight change. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. I think bringing in centre-forward is the right thing to do, and he's exceptional. But it is a little bit watch this space, how Alan Reynolds deals with that tactically.
There's tons more from Vinny and from Gareth McGlynn on this week's LOI pod, which is available for free elsewhere in the OTB football feed. Off the Ball's live coverage of Bohemians versus Galway United will be on OTB Sports Radio, which you can hear only by downloading the Go Loud app now. Tonight's only other surviving top flight fixture sees two of the bottom three clash at the RSC, where Waterford take on Cork City. Waterford have slipped back into trouble due to a run that's seen them collect just one win from the last eight games, but Blues boss John Coleman feels, on the whole, results haven't matched their performances.
So since myself and Danny have been here, I think we could have done better against Shells. We could have been a bit more clinical against Sligo, a little bit unlucky against Sligo, but we'd like to have been better. And obviously that game, I think we've played well in the other games. I thought we've played really well, some played really expansive football, got on the front foot, played the way I want my teams to play, I've always wanted my teams to play. And so we've got to get back to that. And, you know, if you think about the last time we played at home was the Shelbourne game, wasn't it? If we go back to the one before that against Bowes, we were excellent. There's no reason why we can't be like that again. But, you know, we've got a team coming who are certainly better than what the league position suggests. But someone's got to be bottom. And if they'll pose their own threats. I'm a local derby as well, so we've got to be at our very, very best tomorrow. Everyone's looking for a reaction, no more so than me. But I think the players are looking for a reaction of themselves.
Cork had the distraction of their Celtic friendly at Porky Cueve earlier in the week, but manager Ger Nash insists their full focus is on Waterford.
Yeah, no, I understand that it's
it's been quite unique, definitely, because obviously the stature of the club we faced, the amount of fans in the stadium, it's been quite unique in that regard. I don't even need to refocus the players, because I think everyone's very aware of how important Friday night is for us. It's a huge game, and our focus has to be absolutely impeccable for that game. So I don't see myself having to do too much work in that. Everyone in the dressing room should be aware of how big a game that is.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast,
we had this.
When someone says, oh yeah, definitely, he's footballer of the year twice, yeah, it gets you a little bit of respect. You know, I'd say I didn't handle it great in that I probably put myself under too much pressure. And you're playing against maybe Anthony Tobel, Peter Canavan, and Seamus Mine, and brilliant footballers, you know, and trying to produce a level of performance that would justify that you were player of the year twice. So that's my only little insight into it.
And we also had this.
Some players, like some renowned for shouting at ball kids for things going wrong. So, yeah.
Well, you ever said that?
Not shouted at. Some players are renowned for not being very nice, and some are renowned for being lovely.
Nick Kyrgios.
Yep, first name in my head.
Which category?
He's in the zone, put it that way. Like, he's definitely
that's very
in
diplomatic
the zone.
Of you.
Yeah, I know. He was renowned for not being the nicest, but also, you know, it's your life, so.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
First meets third in the First Division tonight as leaders Dundalk make the trip to the Carlisle grounds to play Bray Wanderers. Cove start the night 4 points from the summit and they go to Markets Field for a Munster derby with Treaty United. UCD have a 4-point cushion in the final playoff spot and they welcome Finn Harps to Belfield, while Wexford will look to close the gap on the students when they play Athlone Town. Stephen Kenny believes his St Pat's side can build on their 1-0 first leg lead in their Conference League qualifier with Hegelman. Aidan Keane's penalty, 11 minutes from time at Richmond Park last night, means the Saints will travel to Lithuania for next week's second leg with the most slender of advantages. But speaking to OTB's Jonathan Higgins, Kenny was pleased with his side standing in the tie.
Stephen, hard fought, but in the end, the joy of a goal is special.
Yeah, no, it was a good performance of the players tonight. We played really well. Obviously, we created a lot of chances, and you know, I suppose it followed a similar team to some games that we've been missing chances, and we did again tonight. And but we showed the value of persistence. You know, I think it's important to never underestimate that, and the determination to keep going, and to keep believing. And thankfully, yeah, we got the goal that we needed.
You could just sense the emotion around the place when Aidan took home that penalty.
Yeah, it was a pressure penalty, particularly for Aidan. You know, he didn't start tonight, so obviously it's a disappointment to do that for him, and then, which is only natural, but he didn't show it at all, and then to have the conviction to finish the penalty in the manner that he did, you know, because we missed a lot of chances, then you've got to take a penalty. And obviously we missed one recently here in a game that we had a lot of chances in as well. So you can, he buried it, and you know, so it was a good finish.
Mason led the line tonight. He'll probably be disappointed with a couple of opportunities, but you must be, I suppose, very pleased with his perseverance, because he seemed to get a bit of a kicking out there at times as well, but he kept on going and, you know, played a pivotal part in winning that penalty.
Yeah, Mason's a terrific talent, and you know, he leads the line really well. His mobility, speed across the line, he has different attributes, you know, different skill sets. Okay, not everything worked for him tonight, and he'll know himself he should have scored, but I think, you know, he has a striker he can never be afraid to miss, and that's very important. I feel that if you miss, you go again, you keep, you know, have the ability to get into the right position all of the time, and I think that's important. And he kept going and kept going, and in the end, ultimately, I think he was the one, the foul was actually given for the foul on him, I think, I believe. I wasn't quite sure at the time which one it was given for.
I thought it might have been Barry in it, the second one, okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was given for the fourth one on Mason, so that's it.
Either way, it's a huge second leg to look forward to now. You have the slender advantage. That's an exciting time for your side.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, we would have liked a second goal for sure. Wouldn't have flattered us, or three mightn't have flattered us, but I think it'll be difficult out there. We know the game is in the balance. One is a slender to Leeds, and we're going to have to fight over there to get the result that we need.
Thanks. Best of luck in the second.
Thank you.
Stephen, can I ask you, how relieved were you to finally get a goal?
Well, I think we deserve more than deserved it, and our performances at home over the last couple of weeks have been very good. against Derry and against Bohemians, and I think and the second half against Shelbourne. So I think the players are giving everything. They're playing some terrific football, and we're snatching that chances, which is sort of run through the team, and that's something you don't want. And but the players have been given everything, and I think tonight they were very good overall.
The second leg of that tie will be next Thursday with a 5 p.m. start. Pat's potential second qualifying round opponents drew the first leg of their tie last night. The Finns of Nami Kalu took the lead 2 minutes after halftime at home to Albanian club Partizani, but were pegged back to parity just 4 minutes later. Keith Andrews looks set to replace Christian Norgaard in his Brentford midfield with the experience of Jordan Henderson. Norgaard, of course, completed his £15 million move to Arsenal yesterday. Henderson is a free agent after his departure from Ajax and had also won the interest of Porto. However, a two-year deal with Keith Andrews' side has been agreed and will be formally announced next week. Henderson will be reunited with his former Liverpool teammate Queevin Kelleher at the G-Tech. The 35-year-old will be Andrews' second signing since his appointment following the £16 million capture of Feyenoord playmaker Anthony Milambo. However, Brian Mbeumo is expected to follow Norgaard at the exit door, and speculations mounting that Johan Wisse could also depart. And Crystal Palace have completed the signing of Croatia international Borna Sosa from Ajax. The 27-year-old left-sided defender has joined the London club on a three-year deal. It's reported Palace have paid £3 million to sign him. That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget, we are live tonight on OTB Sports Radio for the meeting of Bohemians and Galway United. Stephen Doyle is on commentary for that one, and we'll be back with more Football Daily for you on Monday. Till then, thanks so much for listening.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
It was a January day at Sampley 2001. All through the bitter cold and gloom, and Miracle was spun.
Headed goal was by Byrne, there's Grattis! 2 minutes and 17 seconds, that's all it's taken. And Shamrock Rovers take the lead through Tony Grant. First player in the book, here's Francis with the penalty. Yeah! Shamrock Rovers, Tony Grant, and... Can he pull it back this time? All the way across to Shamrock, and...
down, we said, right, let's prepare for next week. Let's go out and win the second half, at least finish on a positive note and get ourselves ready for the cup.
The famous Bell Bohemians go down 1-4, and the greatest comeback ever, Bethel Rovers 6-4.
Headed back into the 6 yards, and there's Nesovic with his first ever league goal. Bursting through the centre is Morrison, and he scored, and we've got a game on here. Early ball through the centre, Crowe might get there, and he's done. Glenn Crowe, what a game of football, coming on to Morrison, but he's kept possession for Bowles, who have five men forward, and what a and he's put Bohemians ahead with 11 minutes to go, and you can see the reaction from Roddy Collins. What a comeback for Bohemians. Just over half a minute to go, Crowe is not offside, and Crowe has put it beyond doubt now. A most incredible performance by Bohemians, and Glenn Crowe
blue. The hoop for it had picked, but on that hour it was still 4 and the ball was 6.